Jen Clark. Jen, are you? Where do you come from? Where are your parents from, by the way? Locals, all right?
My parents here in Chinchilla, yes.
Yeah. Where do you first feel the call of God to go to the mission field?
When did you say?
Yeah, where? What part of the world?
Ghana.
Where did you feel the call, first of all, to go to? I mean, where did the missionary challenge come to you?
Oh, the missionary challenge first came to me at a small independent mission church at Manly in Brisbane. And that is where, as a teenager, I first felt the call of God to give him my whole life and let him lead me to the mission field or wherever he wanted me.
So you were rather young when the call came, is that right?
That's right.
As a child, good. And you've been working where?
At Pandai, and in Northern Ghana.
And who with?
With WEC.
Good, thank you.
We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 9, "A wide door for effective work has opened to me, and there are many adversaries." These are the words of Paul, and he was referring to the opportunities that were available to him in Ephesus. But we can use the same words to apply to the work in Ghana at this present time. We certainly have a wide door for effective ministry open to us there. There is a wide open door through in the field of evangelism, just direct evangelism and church planting. There's a wide open door for Bible teachers. We need the churches, our congregations need more Bible teaching. We need Bible teachers in Bible schools and to give special courses for pastors. There's a wide open door for Bible teachers and a great need in this area. Then there's a wide open door in radio work and other ministries like this, in the practical side of things and through agriculture and through medical work, in the schools, religious instruction, universities. There's a wide open door for the gospel in Ghana. Now, we hear of trouble in many parts of Africa, and we hear of people being evacuated out, but we praise the Lord that the door is still open for us in Ghana. Ghana is not without its troubles, but certainly there is freedom for the gospel. And so we are seeking at the mission to really make the most of this opportunity that we have at present. But as Paul said, not only is there a wide open door, but there are many adversaries. And we have also been very conscious of many adversaries. You know, Satan is a great adversary of all, and he walks around sometimes as a roaring lion and sometimes as an angel of light to deceive people and to destroy people. And I would say that the greatest adversary to the Christian church in Ghana is religion. This might sound strange to you, but it is true. The Ghanaians are very religious people. I doubt very much whether you would find one atheist in Ghana. They are very religious, and in the cities of the south, there are some very large congregations in the hundreds. Many people go to church, but there is a lot of nominal Christianity. You see, in the early days in Ghana, schools were started by missions, and so it sort of came about that anyone who went to school was a Christian, and that idea is still there. People who've had education think that they're Christian, so they go along to church, but many of them don't have any idea of what it means to have new life in Jesus Christ. Then there are these what is called spiritual churches. These groups are a mixture of, the traditional fetish beliefs and spirit worship, and also the Christian teaching. They use the Bible as a fetish more than anything else. Their pastors are called prophets. They have shrines where they go and make sacrifices. And on the whole, they're very mixed up, and there is a very real need for teaching these people the true way. Then we have the Roman Catholics too, and these, we know that in many parts of the world, in Australia here too, there is a work of God going on amongst the Roman Catholics, but in Ghana we find that they really are working against us most of the time. Unlike other missions, they will not go into an area where there is no witness, but they will go where a church is already established. They will offer an easy religion and take the people away. You can be a Roman Catholic and you can have as many wives as you want to, you can drink as much as you want to, you can carry on with your idol worship, but so long as you are baptized and pay your money to the church, you're right. And so that suits the people fine, and it really draws people away from the truth, deceives them, and brings much confusion. Then the JWs are there too, Jehovah's Witnesses. We heard last night how they're in the Philippines. We heard how they're in Spain. They're all over the world. And other groups like that, the Seventh-day Adventists, and so many others, they're all there. And they're all working to confuse the Christians and to work against the work of God. Then there's the religion of Islam. They're there too. Muslims are there plenty. They have a big Bible training, missionary training centre rather, in Salt Pond, the south of Ghana, and they are increasing in their missionary outreach in Ghana. Then, of course, there's the pagan people. They have their religion, spirit worship, animists we call them, and they, all these things are against the work of God. Now, in the churches that are established there, that in our area, in Pandai especially, and other parts where WEC is working, we find that one of the greatest hindrances to the growth of the church there is illiteracy. So many of our church members are unable to read, and so when they become Christians, we can't just give books to them and say, read this, you know. It's so very difficult for them to grow, and some of them are very isolated too, and they just don't get the fellowship, and if they can't read, they just can't grow, and this is a real problem. And in order to overcome this, some of our churches have started having early morning prayer times to take the place of personal devotion. So they will meet at 6 o'clock in the morning in the church, and the scriptures will be read to them, and they will pray. Then they will go about their work. And another hindrance to the growth of the church is the multiplicity of languages. In our area where I'm working, in Pandai alone, there are 30 different language groups. And it doesn't matter what language the missionary will learn, we nearly always have to work through interpreters, because there are just so many different tribal groups with their own language. And this is another problem when it comes to literacy too. When a person becomes a Christian, what language are we going to teach them to read in? And we, in our churches, we use two main languages, and we have the scriptures in one of those languages. New Testament is coming in the other one, and so we seek to get them reading in this, but some of them, it's not their own language, and it's very difficult. And so these are some of the problems that hinder the growth of the church in Ghana. But I would say that today also, and this is the last point I want to mention, the last thing I want to mention for today, one of the greatest hindrances to the growth of the church in Ghana is the shortage of workers. And I would say not only missionaries, but national workers. There are so many isolated groups, and that we can only visit just once a fortnight or once a month even, and sometimes not as often as that. And when somebody comes to the Lord in these areas and they can't read or anything else, and you can only meet up with another Christian once every month or so, well, how can they grow? We need more workers. We need more Ghanaians trained. We are training them in Bible schools, and we do praise the Lord for a record number of Bible students in our Bible school at Pandai this year. But we want you to pray with us that there will be more Ghanaians coming into training and offering themselves for the work of the Lord in their own country. We also want you to pray that there'll be more missionaries, because there's still a great need for missionaries, as I said before, in the realm of Bible teaching, medical, agriculture, radio, all these things. We have a great need. In the last 3.5 years, we've lost 9 workers from our field, and some of these have been replaced, but mainly on a short-term basis. And next year, 4 are leaving again to retire. And so that will be 13 lost in just a few years. And so we just ask you to pray that the Lord will send out labourers. He has said, look on the fields, they are white and ready to harvest. Pray therefore that he will send forth labourers. He doesn't ask us all to go, that's obvious. But he asks us all to pray. And let us pray honestly and obediently, to know what he would have us as individuals do about it.